This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Employers in the Driftless area say a lack of childcare options for families continues to impact the workforce. Last November, we talked with leaders from the business sector and the childcare industry about creative ways regional communities are tackling this issue. Today, we're meeting again with these organizations to hear how the initiatives are going and what new goals are on the horizon. Joining us are Chris Hardy, Executive Director of the Seven Rivers Alliance, Jody Weedock, Executive Director of the Parenting Place in La Crosse, Kelly Matthews, Shared Services Coordinator at the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, and Marianne Torkelson, Vice President of Business Development and Training at Co-op Credit Union in Black River Falls. Before we jump into talking about the specific initiatives that we touched on last November, Chris, I wonder if you can remind us why the Seven Rivers Alliance first started looking into this lack of childcare providers we have in the Cooley region and how it's impacting regional businesses.
Absolutely. So the issue of childcare came up in our 2017 Comprehensive Workforce Development Plan, where we identified there were three factors that were three problems, actually, that were preventing some people from entering the workforce, and they would be housing, transportation, and child care. So what our study indicated was that because of a lack of child care access and affordability in the area, we had a lot of parents who were not participating in the workforce or participating only part-time in the workforce or also being underemployed because they simply couldn't find adequate childcare to meet their needs.
And so since we talked last November, I wonder if the situation has changed at all or if we're seeing possibly more businesses paying attention to this issue.
Well, I think unfortunately the situation hasn't changed, but we do have, I believe, some positive developments in a sense that this has gotten the attention of the business community. We've certainly had many more conversations with businesses who are, I think, looking to see how they can become involved to potentially help to solve the problem.
Jody, I wonder if you can kind of talk a little bit about the state of the childcare industry in our area, maybe how things have changed from last November, if they have at all changed.
I knew that question was coming, and unfortunately, I don't have the best news to report that since November, we don't have an increase in the number of regulated childcare slots, in particular in La Crosse County. In fact, there are fewer, which just highlights just how challenging it is to work on this issue that has so many complications to it. And despite what Chris mentioned, the increase in community engagement, which is fantastic, we don't have the influence to make considerable changes in some of those factors that are contributing to the child care crisis, like livable wages for child care workers, things like that.
Yeah, I wonder if you can share maybe what factors have led to actually a decline in the number of providers.
Well, there are so many. Primarily, I point to what I just mentioned, the average wage of a child care worker in a child care center is $10 to $12 an hour. It's very rare for those employees to have access to benefits like health insurance and dental insurance and even paid leave time. So when we have a tight labor market and employers in all sectors are looking for employees, you know, child care workers, even though they may love their work, love the children, they're looking at their family's household income and they're making decisions that are best for their families, and they're leaving the sector. One thing that has that is different than last year, too, is that we are seeing an exodus of the child care center directors. That is new since last fall, and that is concerning because when the directors leave, this immense body of information about how to be a child care business, run a child care business successfully, all the knowledge about child care regulations, which are very complicated, goes with them. And to replace that is very challenging, and it brings additional hardship to the child care centers.
When did you first start noticing this exodus of child care directors, and maybe what are some of the causes behind it?
We started noticing it probably about a year ago. What we are hearing from child care center directors, it's just the wear and tear on trying to keep those child care positions filled. And it's really challenging, and it's always a struggle. You know, they're getting phone calls at 5 a.m. about someone who can't get to work because they're sick, and they really often don't have another place to draw from to get that teacher filled, that teacher spot filled in the classroom, and often it's them. So then that leaves their duties unattended to, and it's just a lot of wear and tear in a really tough industry.
Last November, we talked about a couple different initiatives that are going on in our region that are helping to address this issue. And so, Mary Ann, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about how, you know, Co-op Credit Union was helping to form this committee that we touched on last November.
Sure. Our committee is growing, and we're seeing more and more interest from the business community and providers in Jackson County. Currently, the phase of our development work that we're in is to actually put together a business plan for a model that can help with the child care issues in Jackson County. So we've done quite a bit of work. We've done a lot of research. We've surveyed parents. We've surveyed providers. We've surveyed employers in the county to see what the impacts that they're seeing are. And we've taken all of that information now and are moving forward with a business plan, exploring a couple of models to see what we can do and what is feasible in our community.
Yeah, we talked about the survey of parents that you guys did, and one number that really stood out of 51% of parents saying they spent at least an hour making childcare arrangements on work time at work. And you were, you know, mentioned that you were in the process of still serving childcare providers and employers. I wonder if that work is now done, and maybe what were some of the findings from those surveys?
We are done with our survey work, and it was really quite interesting. The employers, the information that they provided really mimicked what the parents had to say. So not only are the parents feeling it, but the employers are as well. And they're seeing absenteeism or people coming in late to work or not being able to devote, you know, 100% of their energy to their work because of the concerns they have for their children, the parents have for their children. Some children are in childcare situations that weren't their number one choice. They're having to settle for whatever care they can find, and that's not a good place for the children, and it's not a good place for the parents.
Chris, do you think these findings in Jackson County, do you think other businesses throughout our region probably are experiencing similar issues?
They are, because we did a similar survey with the help of Carl Green and the Parenting Place here in La Crosse County, and the numbers are pretty similar. Employers are realizing that that employees are spending some time at work having to deal with child care issues, and it becomes more acute with when we have the strange weather that we have, for example, when we have the winter like we had last year. It just puts a continued strain on parents' ability to try to find that child care.
Yeah, Jody, I mean, I wonder, this makes it sound like it's maybe not a rural versus urban issue, that this is across all types of communities.
It absolutely is. With Marianne's report from her survey, that exactly what Chris says. It mirrors what our La Crosse County survey told us. The good part is that our survey did say the parents reported about 83% of them rated their child care services as excellent or good. So I found that to be very, you know, a positive point and kind of a dismal situation. We did learn in that survey that about 56% of La Crosse County families are using regulated child care, and we know that from that survey, 1 in 4 are utilizing non-regulated child care. That can be concerning. It could be friend and family care, which is very acceptable and loving and kind, but sometimes when those situations aren't the safest, and so we have a concern about that. And similar also to Mary Ann, even in La Crosse County, parents are looking for childcare closer to their homes. So, and as our number of regulated business, childcare businesses close down, they're just having less and less access. That's what the number one problem La Crosse County's families are having, and is finding childcare. It's lack of access.
That's Jody Weedock from the Parenting Place in La Crosse, here with us today to talk about how a lack of affordable childcare options continues to impact the regional workforce. She's joined by Chris Hardy from the Seven Rivers Alliance, Kelly Matthews from the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, and Marianne Torkelson from Co-op Credit Union in Black River Falls. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Kelly, I want to shift to you and talk a little bit about the initiative in your area that we touched on last November with the Wisconsin Early Education Shared Services Network. Can you explain what that network is and how it got started?
Sure. The Wisconsin Early Education Shared Service Network, we call it WESN for short, got started through the community process of the community coming together to say, and identifying childcare as one of their highest needs across their community. When they came together for these community conversations and asked what would be the thing that would make our community stronger for our grandchildren, childcare was one of their top three answers to that question. And so through those community conversations and community partnerships, we applied for an HWPP grant, a Healthier Wisconsin Partnership Program grant, and won that in 2018 in January. We spent the next year in sort of development mode, having more conversations with those same community folks, talking to providers, doing one-on-one visits with providers and small groups, working with the business owners, economic development folks, surveying providers in the area to say, what are your needs? Where are you struggling? What would be helpful? And then took back that information to actually inform the shared service network creation. In January of 2019, we launched our initiative publicly with providers and had several enroll with us in Viroqua, and have recently expanded with a program in Westby and another program in Sparta. And we have a couple more providers who are currently interested in enrolling with us as well. So that we find pretty exciting. The whole idea of a shared service network is that instead of each program having to pay for services and products individually, we can sort of bundle our collective power together to say, we're all going to need this service, let's pay for it once and share it amongst all of us, rather than each program having to pay out of pocket and at potentially a higher rate. And we hope then those cost savings get reinvested back into the programs to pay for quality initiatives, and really importantly, to help pay compensation, because we know that that is one of the number one issues for our workforce, is that, as Jody said, they're making on average $10 to $12 an hour, and that is just not a sustainable wage for the work that they do.
Yeah, Kelly, I wonder if you can share maybe some examples of services that providers have been able to share through this network.
Sure. When we did our survey, we listened very carefully to the things that were most important to them. The number one thing on the list was, no surprise to anyone here, probably benefits. And while we cannot totally crack the nut on that one, we do have some research that we're doing to see if there is a way that providers would be able to access insurance benefits through the network. But we haven't totally nailed that one yet, but we know it's important. So we're putting time and energy into researching that. One of the other top things that they mentioned was a substitute tool. Jody mentioned in her story earlier about directors getting those 5 a.m. calls when a staff person is sick, and then they have to step into that role and take over the teaching duties for the day, which then leaves their director duties still undone for that day. And so we put a lot of energy into what we call our relief squad. And we're pretty excited about that. It is up and running as part of the network right now. We have a qualified substitute early educator. She is sort of a roaming staff person, so she has her licensing file on file with all our enrolled programs. And there is a system set up where a program can schedule and say, we need our relief squad person to come on this day to help cover for a staff absence, or for family providers who often would have to close their whole program for a day or part of a day to do appointments and that sort of stuff. Angie can step in and then take on the teaching responsibilities for that day, so the program doesn't have to close. Because when programs have to be closed, that impacts all those parents' ability to either be at work or are then scrambling to find care for that day, which Chris was talking about, then cuts into their time while they're at work and not doing the tasks that they're supposed to be doing on that end. The Relief Squad is one of the shared benefits that folks have. We've also been able to help automate files. And so to help programs with licensing compliance and to save sort of time and energy that would be managing a manual paper file, by automating all of that, it frees up some of the director's time to then do some of the other leadership things that they should be doing as far as supporting their staff and engaging with families.
Yeah, I want to return to the Relief Squad. I'm so glad you brought that up, because I'm curious if you have experienced the same problems with hiring that we know maybe providers are experiencing with finding people to fill those roles. You know, did you have hiring troubles to kind of fill that Relief Squad?
So we were really thoughtful about when we went about doing the hiring, because the last thing we wanted to do was contribute to the local issue of not having qualified staff in programs, and we didn't want to sort of push the educators out from a functioning childcare program that would then impact their staffing needs. So we were able to hire slightly outside the counties that we're working in, and our person is actually based in La Crosse. She travels to these programs. She is a part-time business owner of others, like she does yoga in childcare programs, and so she already had a part-time schedule that was in working with young children and had the flexibility in her schedule to then add this position on to her other work. And so we were very pleased to be able to find somebody that was really qualified. She's adjunct faculty at one of the tech colleges. She understands early childhood development. She was a family childcare provider at one point in her career, so she also understands the unique needs and roles for family childcare, which is really exciting, because she does substitute in both settings for group center-based care and for family childcare. So we are delighted that we were able to find somebody who's just been a wonderful asset to the program.
Kelly, can you talk about how employers have played a role in this Wisconsin Early Education Shared Services Network?
Employers in the area have been very supportive of the network. Organic Valley has been a supporter while we were still in the early phases of just figuring out what this might look like. They had shared, as Chris mentioned in the previous show, they had looked at running their own child care program and decided that that wasn't going to be a feasible choice for them, but they're very committed to early childhood endeavors in the region. So they have provided outreach for us, meals for when the providers come together for our meetings, space for us to use. The CCRNRs, Jody's organizations, have been supportive in sharing information, sharing their family shelter cohort information so that providers that are in the shared service network have additional resources that way. Gunderson Health System was very generous and awarded us a $5,000 technology grant so that all of the programs that are enrolled with us can get a laptop and software to help with that automation piece. And then recently this year awarded us another grant specifically around the Relief Squad to support that, because they see that as a key endeavor to making sure that businesses keep running smoothly because their childcare is in place. Last year, we received a $10,000 award from Vernon County Economic Development, again for the Relief Squad. I think the businesses see that as a key indicator to helping childcare run smoothly so that there aren't those massive disrupts that then disrupt their employees' lives and then take them away from their work.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're talking with leaders in the business and childcare industries about how they're working to support local childcare providers as a way to boost the regional workforce. We're here with Kelly Matthews from the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, Chris Hardy from the Seven Rivers Alliance, Marianne Torkelson from Co-op Credit Union, and Jody Weedock from The Parenting Place. Jody, as someone who works in this industry, who often supports childcare providers, I just wonder what your thoughts are on how this Early Education Shared Services Network has progressed.
Well, it's great to hear the achievements that Kelly talked about in Vernon County and I think Monroe as well, especially in a small rural community where any ounce of support that the community can get is just so beneficial, not just to parents, but to employers and the providers. Yeah,
and Chris, I wonder if this is something that you have been watching at Seven Rivers Alliance as, maybe an opportunity to kind of learn from the way the network has been progressing.
Well, absolutely. I think that the idea is in once that was up and launched was to monitor, gather results, and then offer it as an option in our region. Again, the challenge with childcare is that while there are some commonalities that we all face, each community is going to be a little bit different, and they're going to have to make decisions that are in the best interest of their community. For example, in a small community, a provider is not going to come in and open up a 50-child childcare center because the economics aren't there for them to do that. So each community and shared services, for example, may be a way for the existing providers in the community to just get that little edge where they can become more efficient and more productive. Childcare is a very interesting economic business model because it runs contrary to the norms. When demand exceeds supply, one would think that there would be lots of people lining up to open up childcare centers, and yet there aren't. And secondly, it's also one of the few businesses where once you're up and running, you can't become more efficient through traditional economic means. So, for example, you can't just say, well, we're gonna add a couple more children per instructor here to become more efficient with our costs because they can't. There are mandates that they have to meet. And so all of those become challenges from the business perspective on how to make this run. And from the parent perspective, it's simply, again, a cost issue. The annual infant care cost in Wisconsin is getting close to $13,000, which is more than college tuition. It's just not sustainable for family members, so they're having to make substantial cuts and reductions in other parts of their budget if they can afford it and find it.
Do you think we have seen responses from employers to this issue, the rising cost of childcare? Is this something that employers are paying attention to as far as looking at that as a benefit or having to raise wages to kind of keep up with that?
Well, one of the things that we are looking at is to really find a way where we can engage more employers and get their attention, and that always is in the bottom line. And one of the ideas that we're pursuing would be the feasibility of having employers make childcare contributions that would run through a nonprofit. They would be able to, in theory, be able to take those as tax-deductible donations that then would be good for their bottom line, but then would bolster their employees. So we're running those numbers. We're looking at the feasibility of that. Again, it's an idea, but I think it's one way where employers who don't have the capability of starting their own child care center and certainly don't have the means to do that can be a little more engaged and involved, and that would certainly help their recruiting and retention, which is another huge issue that's related to childcare. If they can provide some of those services, they would have employees who would be less concerned about childcare and would be better employees overall.
How revolutionary is that idea? I mean, do we see other businesses in other communities doing that already, making contributions to childcare?
Well, there are certainly nonprofits that run childcare. Whether there have been strong efforts to really engage businesses in that community to become contributors to that nonprofit, I'm not really sure if that's been a real strong movement, but it's certainly something that we're taking a look at.
Jody, I wonder if you want to kind of jump in on this idea of, you know, employers in our area making contributions to childcare mm-hmm. through something like a nonprofit, as Chris is describing.
Yeah, it's a really exciting idea. And the more ideas we have, the better we're going to be able to address this situation. There isn't one silver bullet that is going to automatically have this incredible influx of quality childcare slots. So like shared services and the idea Chris was talking about, those are could be part of the puzzle. There are some things right now that employers can do to make childcare easier for employees. Like often employers do not know about our childcare resource and referral where we can help families find childcare at no cost, and they're all regulated. Sometimes employers are not aware of Wisconsin Shares, which is the subsidy program for income-eligible families that to help them pay for childcare. And getting families connected to that resource is super helpful. Employers can also be offering a flexible spending account for dependent care, and that can also help families with the cost of childcare. And then there's, you know, even the thought of being a little flexible with scheduling for the right employer, the right employee can just open up a whole door to making childcare work for a family. And then, you know, one of the things that we did at the Parenting Place was step back and look at, oh, we're an employer. What are we doing to support our own staff around childcare needs? And we started an Infants at Work program so that employees with babies, 6 months and younger, can bring their babies to work. And that really has helped one employee in particular who had a gap between when the baby could get to childcare. And because of our program, he was able to return to work earlier.
Jody Weedock, Executive Director of the Parenting Place, is here with us today to talk about how a lack of childcare options is impacting the regional workforce and what some communities in our area are doing to address the issue. Also joining us are Chris Hardy, Executive Director of the Seven Rivers Alliance, Marianne Torkelson, Vice President of Business Development and Training at Co-op Credit Union, and Kelly Matthews, Shared Services Coordinator at the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on how the business community is supporting the growth of childcare options in our region. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today, we're revisiting a topic we talked about last November as Newsmakers takes a look at regional issues impacting the workforce. A recent study by the Seven Rivers Alliance found employers listed access to affordable childcare as one of the top challenges for their business. Last year, we heard from leaders in the business and childcare industry about new ways communities are working to tackle the shortage of childcare providers. And joining us today are those same leaders to talk about how these initiatives are progressing. We're here with Chris Hardy, Executive Director of the Seven Rivers Alliance, Jody Weedock, Executive Director of the Parenting Place in La Crosse, Kelly Matthews, Shared Services Coordinator at the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, and Marianne Torkelson, Vice President of Business Development and Training at Co-op Credit Union in Black River Falls. Before the break, we were talking about ways employers can maybe help contribute to parents' ability to afford childcare options. Marianne, I just as someone who has been working with businesses in Jackson County on this issue, I wonder how employers there are talking about childcare as maybe a possible benefit that to offer employees.
Well, I think each employer is definitely looking for ways to make childcare more accessible for their employees and more affordable. And at this point, I think they're just kind of working individually within their own, you know, business to see what kind of things can be done. We've talked with employers about, you know, a Section 125 or cafeteria plan, that sort of thing. Some employers have started exploring, you know, some sort of reimbursement or, you know, a wage increase or something like that. But at the end of the day, it all has to work economically for not only the business, but also the, you know, the employees. So
you mentioned that the committee that's been created in Jackson County with employers, county agencies, you know, child care providers, that you guys are working on a business plan. And I just wonder if you can share more about what that looks like.
Certainly. We're exploring an option to see if we can develop a child care cooperative model in Jackson County. And with that, have some sort of shared services piece to that. A number of things are being explored. We're building partnerships and having conversations about, you know, a shared services model, how that can work. We've talked with Kelly a few times, and she's keeping up on what, you know, the work that we're doing to see if that's an option. But we're looking at this child care cooperative as potentially being a model where providers can join, the business community could join, perhaps families, parents, child care workers, and then that cooperative model could share in helping with perhaps a shared services hub type position that can provide some of those services that the providers in Monroe and Vernon County have appreciated.
Chris, I wonder what your thoughts are, you know, as a cooperative, as a model for this type of program.
Well, I think that there we have many businesses in our region that are familiar with the cooperative model. That's how they've been structured. There have been examples of successful child care cooperatives. And so I think that this pursuing this idea makes perfect sense, particularly for the community to look at and consider. Again, being involved on the edge with the Jackson County initiative, ultimately, it's going to be up to the businesses to decide if they want to embrace this. You know, the work that Marianne is leading there is very excellent, but in the end, businesses are going to be the ones that are going to have to decide, yeah, I want to do this, or no, I don't, because this isn't, a one-size-fits-all. But I think that the committee there has done an excellent job in trying to stay in touch with the community. It's a very diverse committee, and I think it's also important that we have the child care workers and businesses in Jackson County involved in that discussion, because the purpose of this, if this were wildly successful, it could potentially threaten their livelihood. Now, wouldn't that be a great bad problem to have? Because it would mean that we would finally have met demand. And so, you know, again, it's one model that I think bears some additional consideration.
Yeah, Marianne, I mean, what has been the reaction from employers about this model? And, you know, I wonder, you know, we were talking about the surveying, the data collecting that your group has done. I wonder how that's also informing this initiative.
Well, I think the employers have appreciated receiving the information and just seeing what the impact is, and that it's not just their one employer, it's the whole. And, you know, it's a regional, it's a statewide, it's a nationwide struggle with child care. And our preliminary conversations with the business community has been very supportive. I think they're just pleased that we're trying to come up with a solution that could help this issue, you know, in our community. So we've had conversations with people from, you know, private employers, from at the county level, You know, we've talked with people from the Department of Children and Families, so we're in conversation with them as well. So we're building a lot of partnerships and having a lot of really good discussions. And overall, the feedback from the employers has been very positive.
What is needed to be able to kind of take the next step with this initiative? I wonder, you know, specifically if there is a financial cost to creating this cooperative and how that might be met.
So there definitely will be a cost. Our group feels that it's important to get our business plan together and have that in place as we move forward and start looking for grant opportunities, reaching out to the business community for financial support if that becomes necessary. Yeah, I think it's safe to say that our group really feels our priorities are to do something to increase the number of childcare workers. And that aligns with how can we increase their wages, provide benefits, that sort of thing. And then if we were to have, you know, a shared services model, how can we help support that as well? So we don't have all of the final figures together at this point, but that's definitely something down the road that will have to be addressed.
Are there other cooperatives or maybe similar initiatives in our state, in the region, that you're maybe looking to for a kind of inspiration as you move forward?
We are. You know, we've talked with a model up in the Ashland area. Chris has, through the event that we had earlier this spring, some people from North Dakota, from Minnesota. So we're looking at a number of different options in trying to take their best practices and seeing what's appropriate for our community.
Yeah, Chris, you know, it sounds like Wisconsin, our region, is not alone in facing this issue.
No, it's certainly an issue across the country, and I think it's a perfect time to raise awareness about some recent film that was shown in our community, No Small Matter, that Jody's group and the La Crosse Y were involved in. The challenge is that across the country, our nation lags in what we invest in early childhood education. And the numbers are pretty staggering, that every dollar that's invested in a young child from birth to, what, 4 or 6, is returned up to 14 times in investment dollars, and it really pays off. So the challenge across the country is the same thing. It's more acute in some more communities than others, and childcare deserts that we talked about the last time certainly popped up in this film. And what it boils down to also is the other part of the solution here, and that's government reform. We need to make a commitment as a nation that investing in early childhood education is vitally important. And what really struck me in that film is they interviewed members of the military, and the military has its own childcare system where they put the kids into quality childcare, because 71%, I believe, was the figure of the eligible people to serve in the military in this country are ineligible to serve because they have prison time or the lack of qualifications. So our country's security is at risk when it comes to that. So part of the solution has to be some type of childcare reform that can help cap family expense and keep it under that affordability index. And you can do that through tax credits. You could do that through business tax credits who participate in that. There'd be a lot of different ways to do that, but that's the conversation I think that eventually has to happen at both the state and the federal level.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're talking with leaders in the business and childcare industries about how they're working to support local childcare providers as a way to boost the regional workforce. We're here with Chris Hardy from the Seven Rivers Alliance, Marianne Torkelson from Co-op Credit Union in Black River Falls, Jody Weedock from the Parenting Place in La Crosse, and Kelly Matthews from the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. Kelly, I want to turn to you and hear from you about what you feel like are next steps for the Wisconsin Early Education Shared Services Network now that you do have childcare providers enrolled in that network.
I am excited to say that we see next steps as growing the network. The more providers that we get enrolled, sort of the more purchasing power we have as an entity, which then impacts our ability to get better pricing on services and goods that early childhood providers would be using in their programs, which they, again, then get to reinvest into their programs. I think that's really exciting. Marianne talks about conversations that we've had in Jackson County as potential growth in that area. We've been in communications in the Southwest region and have agreed to start a feasibility study in that region to look at how a shared service model might work for the providers in counties there. And we're also expanding sort of in other regions of the state outside of the Western region. We recently won some national funding from the Smith Futures endeavor, where we will be launching shared services in Dane County for group and family providers, and have been working with a cohort of providers in Milwaukee County and have been sort of doing what we're calling a bridge to shared services to help them get the business side of things sort of in order to get ready to take on a potential shared service network there. So we see this as a way to help stabilize childcare in many parts of the state. We know the rural areas have significant challenges around transport and providers being close to where the families are so that their kids are all being cared for in their own communities. But we see our next steps as growing and enrolling more providers to be able to do that. And I just wanted to underline what Jody and Chris and Marion have all said, that this is a complex problem. I'm super excited to hear about this cooperative model and that Marianne was talking about and the benefits package that Chris was describing that employers could modify for their workplace, and that Jody has taken on the step of like looking at her own organization to say, we need to make this a child-friendly workplace because that will help our employees do their work better. And so I just want to give a shout out that we need more good thinking about this, and there is no one right way, but that communities really will, through this hard work, figure out what comes next for them and what makes most sense, and hopefully really embrace and support those endeavors.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about why you feel like this shared service network is something that, you know, is being translated to other communities. That you mentioned Madison, Milwaukee. I mean, kind of what factors maybe make this a good model to duplicate?
I think part of it is because we have heard so desperately that childcare is in such a crisis mode. We have done a lot of work in investing in teachers and helping them achieve these educational goals and get trained and all that kind of stuff. But in the state of Wisconsin, we have over 30% of early teachers turnover every year. And what we're realizing is with that turnover goes all of that knowledge and institutional wisdom that Jody was talking about. When people leave, that matters to programs. And so if we can find ways to help stem that turnover, to help stabilize the childcare businesses so that they can pay their employees more, so that they can stay to offer teacher support, so that directors can actually be in classrooms with teachers more supporting them rather than behind their desk and paperwork, all of those things contribute to more solid childcare, regardless of where you are. And so I think this message has really resonated with the communities because they see the strong need for helping keep the open programs and then improving and stabilizing that quality to make sure that those places are great places for kids to be.
Kelly, what do you think are the biggest challenges facing the Wisconsin Early Education Shared Services Network as it moves forward with this work?
Sure. I think the challenge is always getting the word out, letting people know what we're doing. I think a real challenge is that this is not something that's been done in Wisconsin in a real formal and large way before. I think there's always been some version of a shared service sort of collective or programs working together or sort of putting their heads together and helping each other out. But this model is a little bit different. I think the challenges come from making sure we're responsive to each community that we're in. And so there is no one size fits all, even in the shared service world, that each cohort of this group has their own specific needs and their own feel of the community that we need to respect and be responsive to. So I think that is a bit of a challenge. But we're also asking people to do business fundamentally differently. We're asking them to let go of some of the tasks that they're typically used to doing and to having that be done a different way. We're asking them to embrace technology in some places where, you know, independent small childcare programs or family providers may not have embraced technology in that way before. And so we're asking them to take that on in a different way. We're also asking businesses and communities to invest in childcare in a way that we haven't directly asked for in the same way before. And I think getting them to all understand that, yes, it's going to be changed, yes, it's going to be different, and here are some of the outcomes that we hope to see: less turnover, more money for compensation, supported teachers, staff, family childcare providers. All of those things result in better outcomes for kids.
Jody, I want to take a moment to highlight a new initiative from the Parenting Place that's been recently introduced to provide some financial help to potentially startup childcare providers as kind of another piece of this puzzle of encouraging more providers to enter that space. Can you talk a little bit about kind of what prompted the Parenting Place to offer those financial incentives?
Yeah, thanks for asking about that. We are really excited about the mini grants we have available for family care, people who want to start childcare in their homes. And often what we've heard from folks who are interested is that there are financial barriers to doing that. The cost of background checks can be prohibitive, the entry-level coursework that they might need, even purchasing some of the just basic safety equipment that they would need to make their homes safe and meet certification or licensure requirements. So we have, we announced this in August. The program will run through June 30th of 2020 or until the funds are depleted. We have about $4,000 available and up to $500 in granting. And of course, there are some requirements, like providers need to pass the background checks and get through their certification process. But we're really excited because the second it hit the media, we were getting phone calls. So we're hoping that this will result in some new slots in La Crosse County for families to access.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you've seen interest in the program.
We have. We've seen a lot of interest, but we're still in the very beginning. So if folks are interested, please give us a call. There's plenty of time yet.
Yeah, Chris, you mentioned earlier the idea of, looking at childcare not only as a way to support other businesses, but also as a business itself. And I just wonder, how these startup costs, maybe if you also see how those can be a barrier.
Well, they can be. Like starting any other kind of business, you've got to look at your business plan and you got to figure out, what kind of investment do I need to make? When am I going to get a return on that investment? And so any efforts, whether they're small or large, certainly help that business to maybe move from I'm really close to making it happen where, yeah, this will really help for me to continue to do it. I think in the long run, in order for us to have successful childcare, and we talked about it earlier, we do need to look at how do we increase that pay, because the turnover is going to continue to happen. And again, it's part of the larger picture that we face as a region. Our workforce plan identified that we're going to be 15,000 plus workers short of what we need by 2026. And so each industry in our region is dramatically affected by this. But the challenge with childcare is that the median wage is so much lower in comparison. A Head Start teacher, the average wage in Wisconsin is slightly under $30,000. For a childcare worker, it's just above $20,000. That's a significant gap. And so what we're finding is that a lot of the childcare workers are simply taking jobs with other industries that offer those higher benefits and that higher pay. So that is something that we somehow need to address that so that In order to have a successful business model, you have to have the employees. And that's kind of why we're talking about this topic. But in order for our childcare businesses to be successful, we have to find that pipeline of employees so that they know that they can be successful.
Mary Ann, as you look to the future and possibly tackling this cooperative model, you know, what do you hope this initiative looks like in 5 or even 10 years from now?
I hope that it looks like we have increased the number of slots in Jackson County and that parents are just breathing easier. The children aren't shuffled from place to place and forced to be in less than ideal situations. And that we just see the children entering school are, you know, happier, healthy children, and it can have a real ripple effect into the rest of their lives. So that secure place for them to be is our goal.
Mary Ann Torkelson from Co-op Credit Union in Black River Falls, Chris Hardy from the Seven Rivers Alliance, Jody Weedock from the Parenting Place in La Crosse, and Kelly Matthews from the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. Join us today to talk about local initiatives to support childcare providers. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.